Let's dig in to Psalm 57. So open up your Bibles to Psalm 57. We'll read through, then we'll pray and get started. Psalm 57. Prayer for safety from enemies. To the chief musician set to do not destroy, a miktam of David when he fled from King Saul and hid in a cave. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, God, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge. Until these calamities have passed by, I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen, Selah. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake my glory. Awake lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations, for your mercy reaches into the heavens and your truth into the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We praise you for this wonderful historical account of one man's heart who is totally surrendered to you, finding himself in a great, deep, heavy trial and finding his peace, making his refuge in you. Lord, help us turn our hearts towards you, to seek your face, to make our refuge in you, God, and you alone. Help us not run to any counterfeit, Lord, distraction in the world, but let us run to you, Lord, in our trials and in our sufferings and in our difficulties. Help us learn, Lord, what you taught David, Lord, King David, so many years ago. Help us discover, Lord, how to really find our refuge under your wings as our God in this day, in this age, in this time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this psalm is one that would have been very emotional for King David, no doubt, because every time he sung it, he no doubt was connected to all the emotions in his heart that went along with it. And as you know from 1 Samuel, that he was on the run for his life. From who? From a king, the king of Israel, King Saul. King Saul had an army, had weapons, had all of the different things at his disposal to destroy a man, to run him down, to wipe him out. And King Saul had one obsession, one thought, one laser focus, and that was to murder, kill, destroy David, and wipe him off the face of the earth. And David finds himself in an impossible situation. He is running for his life. He's had to leave his wife, everything he knows, and he's on the run. David informs us where to go when we're faced with an impossible situation. We must shelter under the wings of God. We must look to God to be our refuge and our strength. Do you ever find yourself in need of sanctuary in this cold world? Do you ever long for a place, just one location, one place, one sanctuary where this dangerous, desperate, violent, cold, pitiless, unfriendly world can't reach you? Do you find your soul longing for that? Where can you go for that? Who can provide you with that in this world? What person, what building, what government? Where on earth can you find strength and peace and security and hope in your times of darkness? Well, David, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he gives us the answer. He tells us under the refuge of God's wing. Refuge and sanctuary is what we need in these trials and difficulties. You know, the first mention of sheltering under the wing of the Almighty is really found in Ruth. You know the story. Ruth, she's a Moabitess. She's come from her land with her mother-in-law, Naomi. They've both lost their husbands. They've lost their money. They've lost everything. They're starving. They're hungry. They're cold. They're on the brink of starvation. And she's gone to work with the sweat of her brow and the strength of her hands in the fields just to scrape a living by. And Boaz comes to her and says, "May God bless you, the God of Israel, who you've come to shelter under the wings of." You've come to shelter under the wings of the Almighty. And that was one of David's great-grandmothers, great-great-grandmothers, Ruth. So David knew this, and I love that he brings it up. He knew where his grandmother sheltered and how well it went for her, and he remembers to shelter under that same strong wing. You see, whenever we're faced with impossible situations, there's really two ways that people can knock us down and wipe us out. They can really break a person in a trial, especially a deep trial that's long-lasting. And that is to, number one, to not know how long the trial will last. That will mentally and emotionally ruin and break a person. And also, number two, not knowing how intense the trial will get, how hot the flame will become, how much pressure you'll actually be put under before you're crushed. Those are the two ways that you can be wiped out in a trial. Chris Voss, an FBI agent, he describes his experience going through the FBI SWAT team training. And he said it was the best of the best, the strongest, the toughest, the smartest men and women in the country. And he said, through this training, one way they'd break you is exactly those two points. They would simply say, every day, we're going on a run. And everybody'd ask questions. How far are we going? How long is the run going to last? How far are we going? How long is the run going to last? All met with silence. Those questions were met with silence. No one knew how far they were running. They didn't know how far they'd go. They didn't know how to judge how much energy to expel, how much to throttle up or back, how fast to run, how slow to run. They didn't know how to pace themselves. They didn't know how long it would last. And so people became exhausted, wiped out. It created a traumatic response for all those cadets, and many dropped out because of the traumatic exhaustion that it put on them day in, day out, multiple times a day. We're going for a run. Those trials wiped people out. Even though the runs at the end, he said, they lasted about 45 to an hour and 10. He said, but we didn't know that. And so our minds were always racing, scared, worried, upset, because we didn't know how long they'd last and how hard they were going to be. Trials produce anxiety, despair, and worry. They produce depression in a trial. They produce anger, hopelessness in our hearts. And David found himself in the exact same situation. He was running, but not just for exercise and not just for a training program. He was running for his life. And you can imagine how fast your heart beats when you're scared, let alone running for your life. He knows that he has to run from Saul, but he didn't know the intensity or the duration of his trial. And this psalm of David right here, Psalm 57, David has made for every Christian. God has written down for every one of us who finds ourselves in a trial, not knowing how hard the trial is going to become, not knowing how long the trial is going to last. You see, we need God's wings of refuge. We need his wings now, right now, to cover us. This is an unparalleled time in history when many do not know how long the current trial will last or how hard it will become. We need God's wings of refuge, as David did. A friend posted how difficult things have become. He shared it with me on Facebook, and I was blown away. He showed the statistics of the suicide hotline over the last few months and compared these numbers for the last 3 months to last year's numbers. And you know what? They went up exponentially. The increase wasn't 10%, it wasn't 50%, it wasn't 100%, it wasn't 200%. It was 400% on the calls every day, every week, the volume. This is a difficult trial we find ourselves in the United States and in our county. Do you ever find yourself asking the question, what happens next? How's it going to end? What's going to happen? In trials, the best place to go whenever we have those questions isn't to social media, it isn't to the news, it isn't to friends and loved ones, even though they're wonderful and mean well. The only place to go is Jesus Christ. He's the one who knows the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He's written out every one of our stories, and he has good and wonderful plans for us. We need to go to him. We need to run to Jesus and shelter under his wings. Psalm 57 tells us to make our refuge under God's wings. But isn't that designed for women and children? I mean, I've always heard that. Women and children first, whenever the boat's sinking, whenever the house, whenever the building's on fire, women and children first. Men don't run under the wings of God, do they? David wrote it. I don't know how many giants you've killed in your life. I don't know how many battles you've gone into armed with no Kevlar at all, armed with a sword, a shield, maybe a spear, and wiped out hundreds of men on your own like David did. Going in battle after battle, battle scarred, battle ready, tough as nails, would wipe out any person walking the planet right now with his bare hands. He's a man's man, and he runs under the shelter of God's wings. There's no shame in it, and in fact, his wings are designed for men, for women, for children. You'd be surprised who you'd find under the refuge of God's wings. Who would you find there? You'd be surprised to find yourself in the company of kings, of queens, of powerful men, of mighty men. David's mighty men of valor were with him when he sheltered under the wings of God. You'd find seasoned veterans of war, warriors, fighters, people who don't give up easy, wise women, strong women, godly women, strong children. You'd find them all under God's wing. There's room for everybody. Everybody's welcome, and there's room for you. People don't usually take refuge under God's wing, though, in trials. They don't. Too many of us settle for the wrong things. You know what we settle for? We settle for escape. We want to escape a trial. And so instead of running to the refuge of God's wings, we run for an escape. But what's the difference of making your refuge under God's wing and an escape? There's a difference. People who think they don't need to shelter under God's wing, they're the kind of people who've mistakenly escaped. They've ran away. Many people choose the road of escape and distraction in trials. Escape? Distraction? What are you talking about, Pastor Mark? I don't escape and run away from things. I face my problems head on, man. And I'm going to get right to it right after I go binge watch some Netflix, right after I go get a snack, after I go check some social media. Hang on, I'll get right to that problem. Right after I do all these things. You know what? We run to escape our problems. And God forbid we'd run to all the worst things, like alcohol, like drugs, like pills that people are filling their bodies and their minds and their hearts with so that they don't have to feel anything, so they can just get up and face the world, so they can just function for one more day. They run to these things. And it's a trap. It's an absolute trap set by the enemy. And God wants us to know that. That's why he's designed and he's provided the shelter of his wings instead. I understand that people do this because it is a cold and pitiless world without the Lord. One man I read about, he was kicked out of his house at age 11, never to return back to his home, had to live on the streets, had to make his way, had to scrape by. He lived every day drinking just to numb himself enough to get by one more day in this world till God healed him, till God saved him, till God took away his need for alcohol and replaced it with God's shelter and God's wings. God's beautiful, and he wants you to know that tonight. You know, escape leaves its victims, and I do use the word victims, sick, tired, worn out, like it says in one of my favorite movies, Lord of the Rings, whenever the hobbit says, "I feel thin, like butter that's scraped over too much bread." That's how it leaves you. It leaves you wiped out and exhausted. Escape makes problems worse. Oh, come on, Mark. Escape doesn't make problems worse. How can ignoring things make things worse? Well, let me ask you. You ever ignored that little ache in the back of your tooth that you could have taken care of, but you didn't? And what would have been a simple filling becomes a giant root canal costing hundreds or thousands of dollars. Or that sound in your car that you noticed 8 months ago, that rattle, you think, I need to take care of that. Nope. No, I'll just leave it. I'll ignore it. No big deal. It'll go away. And now it's not $200 to fix. It's $4,000. No, we both know, and we all know here, all of us, that if you ignore a problem, it only makes problems worse. God doesn't ask you to do that. So if escaping my trials and problems only leads to distraction, hopelessness, and bigger problems, then what does sheltering under God's wing look like? What do we find there? I mean, you're telling me to shelter under God's wings, but what does it look like? What do I find there? What do I do there? Well, I'm so glad you asked, because David, he highlights it here in this psalm, and we'll dig into it right now. You see, David found strength What do you find there? You find strength, you find hope, you find peace, you find security under God's wings. That's what you find. And you find God's mercy right at the beginning. He says, have mercy upon me, O God. He says, be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. He says it twice. He knows that God's merciful. You see, David sheltered under God's wing and was hiding in a cave when King Saul walked right into that cave. David and his men were there hiding. David had the opportunity, and he was even encouraged by his men to go kill Saul. Kill that man. He's after you. He could have escaped everything. He could have went through the road of escape and done the easy thing, but he did not do that because God's Holy Spirit touched his heart. And even though he had reason to kill him, he had an opportunity to kill him, he didn't take the easy way out. He didn't escape at all. He stayed sheltered under God's wing even when it was difficult, even when it was hard, because he knew God's heart and he knew that he was not to touch God's anointed. And he was a man of character. See, you find character under God's wing as well. David found God's perspective on the situation. He was in there sheltering under God's wing. David realized that he couldn't kill Saul, couldn't wipe him out. You learn to wait on God under God's wing, and that's really hard to do. It's not easy, and it doesn't come naturally to me, that's for sure. You can ask my wife, ask anybody. It doesn't come naturally to me, but we learn it. Because God's good and he's wonderful. They find God's perspective. They find it right there under God's wing. They find security and trust in God and hope in God and peace in God under God's wing. But you might wonder, that's what I find, but what do I learn sheltering under God's wings? Do I just sit there and wait till the storm passes? Do I just huddle up like a baby bird and just kind of wait till the sun comes out and come out? No, you learn a lot. We learn to face reality in our situation without despair. We learn to look at our situation and really assess it honestly, without fear and without depression, without falling apart, without turning to anything other than God. We can look at that and see the truth of it. You see, one of the best examples of this is in history is Sir Ernest Shackleton. When his ship, the Endurance, was out ready to explore Antarctica, they got caught in the middle of the giant ice caps, and suddenly the ice surrounded their ship, him and his 28 men, their dogs and their stores. They were trying to make it to Antarctica, to make it to the South Pole, but they got stuck, and as the water froze, everything froze, and suddenly what used to be an ocean is now nothing but ice for hundreds of miles all around them. And then, if it wasn't worse and bad enough, it started to spin and put them off course, and they were stuck there for months, huddling under the Endurance, under the ship, and in the ship, trying to survive. Finally, the ice crushed that ship to pieces and splintered it to nothing. They found themselves out in the elements, out in the cold, the bitter cold. Nobody survives in that. And what did Ernest Shackleton, this man that also wrote that he was trusting in God to get him through, he wrote this in his log, and I love it. He just looked at it honestly. And then he did something miraculous. He said this, and I quote, "Ship and stores have gone." Oh, that's one way to put it, Ernest. "Ship and stores have gone, so now we'll go home." That's it. You see, we learn to face anything under God's wing. How could David walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil in Psalm 23? Why? How could he do that? Because he was sheltered under the wing of God. He was sheltered under God's wing because God is with him. Because God is with David, sheltering him and guarding him. God sheltering doesn't give us permission to lay down and die under his wing. He doesn't tell us, you just come on underneath and just fall apart and die. We can fall apart, that's okay. We'll get back up, he'll fix us, he'll take care of us, but we don't stop and we don't die. But no, we go forward under God's wing. That's how we go through the valleys of the shadow of death. It's because we are sheltered under his wing and we trust his steps as we get in step with him, one step at a time under his wing, going wherever he goes and moving wherever he wants. To shelter under God's wing doesn't mean that we're paralyzed or frozen or immobilized. We move forward in faith. God shows that this isn't a safe world. We know that. It's never been safe. Look at history. It's never been safe in the world, and it never will be safe until Jesus returns. We move forward in this dangerous world because God has provided himself as our shelter. Let's stop and just think about that for a minute. God doesn't say, go find a shelter. He doesn't say, you know what, I've built a strong tower for you. I want you to go find it. He didn't give us keys to a building and say, listen, I need you to go down McHenry Avenue, turn down Yosemite over here, and then 10 miles this way, you'll find a shelter. Go live there in a cold, clinical environment. No, there's beauty in this. Think about it. God himself is our refuge. He's the one who pulls us close and takes care of us. That's powerful, it's beautiful, and it's wonderful. Jesus told us, in the world you will have trouble, but be of good courage. Why, Jesus? Because I have overcome the world. You don't have to wait until you're safe and secure to be sheltered by God's wing. We see in Scripture men and women who sheltered under God's wings. They were imprisoned, they were robbed, they were beaten, they were shipwrecked, they were bitten by snakes, they were hungry, poor, abused, sick, lonely, running for their lives, starving to death. God still kept them alive and sheltered them and took care of them, even through difficulty, heartache, and hardship, because he loves them and because he loves you and because he's with you right now through your trial right now. And he cares about you and he wants you to draw close to him tonight. And he wants you to draw close to him through this trial. You know, nobody's more vulnerable than children. I'm the children's pastor here, and I know that, and I watch over them very carefully. I love every one of the children that come to this church. And between God and I, I've made a covenant that each one of these children are my children, and I'd give my life for them. I'd take care of them. I'd fight for them. Nobody's going to touch a kid in my church. God feels the same way about you. And you know who's even more vulnerable? Not just children, but abandoned children, orphaned children, children that are alone. They're totally abandoned. Reminds me of the orphan trains. If you don't know much about it, it's a historical fact. Look it up. Not all the stories were good. Not all of them ended happy. But there was a group of people, mainly Christians, philanthropists and missionaries, and they went out to the streets of New York. And in the 1850s all the way into the early 1900s, there were hundreds of children, thousands of children, hundreds of thousands of children. Over 200,000 children were taken from the streets of New York, alone, abandoned, running in packs, wild, hungry, starving. It was madness. And these loving people saw these kids and said, these kids can't scrape by and die on the streets. They can't get sick and run around with no shoes in the freezing winter in New York. We've got to save these kids. Let's take them to the Midwest. So they'd ship them. They'd gather them up, clean them up, talk to them, feed them, encourage them, train them up in the Lord, and then they'd send them off to the Midwest. And there was one group that landed in the Midwest. All the kids were all, you know, done up, combed hair and everything. They tried to make them look the best they could, but they were all impoverished and hardship had just hit them. You know, they kind of had that weight on their faces. But every kid, especially the little girls, of course, all the moms, oh, grabbed the little girls and all the boys. There was one rough-looking boy standing there. He was alone, left on the stage, standing there waiting to be adopted. Nobody came. Nobody wanted him. So one tough old mean farmer, as the story goes, and as I remember hearing, because I saw the interview with the man who was the little boy, he said, one tough old mean farmer came up and grabbed me by the arm and started pulling me off the stage and said, come on, boy, you're coming with me. I'm going to have you work my farm. And the boy knew this is not a good man. He was about 6 years old at the time. He started to bite and kick and scratch and punch. Finally, he grabbed his arm and just sank his teeth in. The man let go, screamed, fine, just send him back to New York. Let him die in the streets. He walked off. One man came in late, and he had a smile on his face as he watched the whole transition happen. And he liked that kid. One nice old farmer walked up to him and said, hey, boy. He said, kid looked at him, not trusting anybody. And he said, did you just bite that man? And he said, yes, sir, just as hard as I could. And he said, good. That's a mean man right there. I know him. He's mean to his horse. He's mean to his dog. He's mean to his wife. He'd be really mean to you. He said, but you know what? I'm not mean. I'm really nice. My wife sent me over here to see if there was a boy because we've been married a really long time. And the good Lord, he's never seen fit to give us a boy. We've always wanted a boy. God's never given us a boy. We'd like you to be that boy, and I'll tell you what, don't answer me yet. I said, listen, boy, tell you what, I got a big farm. You can run all over it and have lots of fun, and I'll do this. If you come with me, I'll never beat you, never hurt you. I'll always be nice to you. I'll give you a dog. I'll give you a horse. I'll give you a gun. What do you say, boy? Kid looked around. He said, sounds pretty good to me. And he went with him. And that little boy was adopted and sheltered under the wing of that old farmer, that nice old farmer and his wife. And I'll tell you what, that man said he raised Cain on that farm. He rode his horse through the fields and ruined some crops. He ran his muddy old dog with his muddy old boots all through the house while being sheltered under the wings of these nice people who became his parents. And he used that gun to shoot out some windows and shoot some chickens. Sorry, it's a true story. But through it all, the farmer was kind and loving to him and sheltered that boy. So you might wonder, what do I do once I get there, once I get under the shelter of God's wings? Once we're secure under God's wings, we learn to trust God like that boy did. Day by day, you learn to trust that old farmer. We learn to trust in God's protection over us. We learn to trust in God's provision to feed us and care for us and clothe us and give us maybe not a horse, a dog, and a gun. Pretty good, actually. I wouldn't say no. But God gives us more than that. He gives us his Holy Spirit. And he gives us his promises. You see, we learn to unpack our hearts and problems and issues before God in the trials of this life. We learn to unpack them right at Jesus' feet. That's what David did. He tells God all of his problems and all of his issues. And God, of course, he takes it all. And he absorbs all the blows that are meant for us. Who did that for us? Who absorbed all the wrath of God? Who absorbed the death that we deserved? Who absorbed the price for our sins? Who went to a cross and died for you and for me and sheltered us with his very body, with his blood? Jesus did. Jesus Christ, our good God, our loving God, our God that shelters. You see, the Bible says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates his own love for us, that in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you really think Jesus went through all that to fail you now? Do you think Jesus will fail you now? No. The answer is no. 1,000 times no. 1,000,000 times no. Jesus has proven his power, his strength, and his love, and his commitment already by protecting you and sheltering you whenever you believe in him on the cross. How much more will he take care of your earthly needs here on earth while we go through trials? What do you do in the shelter of God's wing, you might ask? Once I'm there, what do I do? I don't know what to do. I'm going to go, but what do I do, Pastor Mark? David tells us right here in this psalm. You pray. You pray to God. This psalm is also a prayer. He lets God know everything that's in his heart. He pours his heart out to God. Get with God. Get under the shelter of God's wing and tell him all the how bad things are, how terrible things are, but that you trust him and that you love him. And that you know that he's going to get you through it. That's what you do in times like this. You see, we take our tears, which are really meant to be prayers. Every problem is really a tear. All the sickness, problems, issues, pain, suffering that you're going through, it's really a tear. And every one of them aren't meant to be dumped out or buried or anything. They're meant to be sown in the heart of God. That's what we do. We pray. And we pray honestly. Like David did here, he talks all about all the people that are after him. They're digging pits for him to fall into, but they'll fall back into him. And he's surrounded by lions like Daniel in the lion's den. God's going to do all that, and God's going to take care of David, and he's going to take care of Daniel, and he's going to take care of you. And under God's wings, we hear from God too. That's what we do. We listen. We listen. We pray and we listen to God because we're close to him. Don't you see? Don't you see the picture and the imagery? Whenever you see a bird and it has its young under its wing, where is it at? It's warm, it's safe, it's cared for, it's closest to the heart of the mother, of the father. You see, God speaks to us through his word, and he speaks to us through his still, small voice. In 1 Kings 19:9-13, we find the prophet Elijah in much the same situation as David in the psalm. It's so funny to me. God brought this to my mind as I was studying for this, and he showed me that, hey, wait a minute, David's in a cave, Elijah's in a cave. David's running for his life, Elijah's running for his life. There's some similarities here, wait a minute. And God speaks to both of them. God gives them hope, God gives them strength. God's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. When you're on the run, when you're scared, when you're worried, stop. Listen to God and he'll speak to you. And of course, you guys know the story. Elijah waits for God to speak to him. He's on the run for his life. A great wind, a hurricane strikes the mountain. God wasn't in the hurricane. The earthquake hits, boom, shakes the whole mountain. Scary stuff. God wasn't in the earthquake. Fire then blasts into the mountain and blows things away. The heat, he can just feel it on his face from inside the cave. God wasn't in the fire. Then everything passes and everything gets still. And finally, a still, small voice comes to Elijah. And when you get quiet and you let all those problems and all those issues, all those things, all the noise that's out there pass by, you get the still, small voice of God. Elijah gained perspective, and that's what you gain under the wings of God. You gain perspective. You gain his perspective to get quiet and to listen to God. You might wonder, how do I listen to God? Real easy. Pastor Damien mentions it all the time. You have your quiet time with God. It's when you read the Bible and you pray. But after you're done, this is how you can listen to God. Simply sit quietly before him and say, God, I'm your servant. You're my God. I'm going to sit quietly before you and ask you to speak to me about anything you want to speak to me about. I'm just going to be dead silent, Lord. Help me quiet all the voices that are in my head. I might have more than others, but I figure you've got a few of your own internal voices. I got a bunch in here. It's a mess. It's like a bag of cats. It's crazy. But I got to get all those silenced. They have to be silenced before God can speak to me. And then when he does, it's a still small voice and it's beautiful. You can do the same thing. Just set your phone, set a timer, 5 minutes. Just get quiet. Every time your mind races off to one problem and the other and the other and the other and the other, just say, no, stop. Shh, 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 shh. And just get quiet and then listen. And he'll tell you, I love you. He'll tell you, I care about you. He'll tell you, he'll share with you someone to pray for. He'll share with you someone to reach out to and buy groceries for. Somebody to call up and pray with. Somebody to reach out to, maybe a neighbor or a friend or a family member. He'll talk to you. He's living and active and alive. And he's going to talk to you and he's going to talk to me, but we have to give him a chance. How many times have we sat down and said, speak to me, Lord, and just get quiet? Just stop. We can listen under the wings of God, under the refuge of God. So what's our response finally to God under his wing? When we have ran to him and sheltered under his wing? After we've drawn close to his heart and prayed and listened, heard God's still small voice, what does our response look like? What does it look like? Well, it looks like Jesus. When Jesus came to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane and sheltered one last time under God's wing before he went to the cross for you and for me to die for our sins, Jesus poured out his heart to the Father and he listened. And what did he say? He teaches us. Jesus is teaching us all the time, and he teaches us here. He says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's beautiful. And that's what we learn in the shelter of God's wings. We learn to say, no matter what's going on, Lord, you're teaching me things. You have a plan for me. I'm going to tell you what I think, but it doesn't really matter. Not my will, but thy will be done. Then you rest in that. And that's what we do in the shelter of God's wings. We don't run to God to simply hide or escape a trial. That's all wrong. People see it all wrong. We don't simply run to hide from a problem. We shelter in the refuge of God's wing to draw close to God, to find security in the dangerous world that we live in, to hear God's still small voice, to gain courage, to carry on. To gain God's perspective on the situation like he did with Elijah. Elijah thought he was all alone. God said, you got it all wrong, kid. I got 7,000 just like you all over Israel. You're wrong. But I still have things for you to do, so get out of this cave and follow me. We find God's will for our lives. You might wonder, so what happens next, Pastor Mark? Well, you find courage and strength and confidence in God, not in yourself, but in God, like David did. He says, my heart is steadfast in verses 7 and 8. And he says it twice to make the point. Notice that. My heart is steadfast. My heart is steadfast in verse 7. I like that. He says it twice. Strength comes. What happens when you emerge under, from out from under God's wing, on the refuge of God's wings, into the troubles and the problems and some cleanup that might be in your life? Will you leave doing what David does at the end of Psalm 57? You know what we do? Once calamities pass and once the storms pass, you do this. You praise God and you sing his praise. The rest of this psalm turns from my worries and my troubles and my problems and save my life. The rest of the entire psalm, the rest of it all says praise. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples, verse 9. I will sing to you among the nations, for your mercy reaches into the heavens and your truth into the clouds. Verse 11, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. Suddenly he shot into the heavenly heavenlies, and he's up there above all the problems, above all the sorrow, above all the worry, above all the trials. And he's right in the presence of the Lord. And he's just singing and praising God. And that's where we come out of. That's where we exit the wings of God. We exit worshiping God and praising God and singing to our great God and telling others how great our God is. That's what happens when you refuge under the wings of our Almighty God. And I'm glad to say that that little boy that was interviewed from the orphan train, now a very old man in his 80s, that old man broke down and cried. Right on camera, as I watched it, I couldn't believe my eyes. He was weeping, saying, you know what? That old farmer took me and he gave me the horse and the dog and the gun. I misused all of them. I caused panic and pain and suffering and lots of money. I cost him lots of money. He said, but that old man sat me down on his knee at the end of every day. This is a man in his 80s recounting this. It was beautiful. He had been through World War II. He'd been through the Depression. He was hardened, tough, seen sorrow and trial after trial. He had a soft heart for that man. Why? Because the old man would sit him down on his knee in his rocking chair on the porch. And he said, that old man, that old farmer, my dad, he'd put his arm around me and rock back and forth and say, all right, son, put down the gun. And he'd set the gun down. Tell your dog to go away. You know, you got to stop running through my fields. And you got to stop killing all the new brush that I put in, all the new tomatoes. You ran through it with the horse and you killed some of it. Yes, sir, I'm going to do better tomorrow. And then he said, do you know, tomorrow, you know, why don't you put the gun down and I'll get you a target. I'll make you a target, boy. He said, that sounds good, Dad. He said, because, you know, your mom was really upset today. Why is that, Dad? Well, you shot out all the windows of the chicken coop and you killed a few of her prized chickens. Oh, sorry, Dad. Okay, well, you can do better tomorrow, boy. I know you can do better. And the next day, you know, you got to stop letting that dog run through the house. And every day he'd talk to him, that old man just wept. And he said, I hope that my life brought glory to that man. I hope I lived a life that honored him. That's all we need to come out of with. We're in a trial, but we forget that we're here to bring honor and glory to God. Live your life in a way that brings glory to God. So as I close, let me tell you this. We trust that all the trials, all the tribulations, all the sufferings that we're going through right now and we will go through in the future, that all of them in this life cannot be just fall away and just disappear, but they can be redeemed by God. Do you believe that? I believe that. I see it through the whole Bible. Men and women, their whole lives, all the suffering, everything gets redeemed by God. Everything can be redeemed by God if we draw close to Jesus and shelter under his wings. Is it impossible for God to take us and transform us by his love, his security, his strength, and infuse us with hope and transform us by his mercy? Let us learn from David and run to God in times of trials. And make our refuge under God's wings. We can draw close to God, pour out our hearts to God, find his strength for our lives, even in times like now. Let us turn to God and shelter under his wings during our current trial, knowing that he will help us emerge praising God Almighty, praising his name. Let's pray. Father, you're good. You've always been good. You're good from before time began, and you'll be good after time doesn't exist anymore. You've been good before we were born. You're good through our lives, and you'll be good after we're long gone. Lord, we give you praise right now in faith that you're going to not only see us through this trial, but you're going to shelter us through this trial. You're going to provide strength and hope and guidance, Lord. You're going to draw us close. And I pray for my brothers and sisters that are out there that are finding themselves beaten up and slammed down and depressed and escaping everything. I pray that they shelter under your wing, that they draw close to your heart, that they hear from your voice, your still small voice tonight, that you'd encourage them, Lord, with your word, that as they have their quiet time, they take those 5 minutes and pray to you, God, and listen. And I pray that, Lord, they leave from under your wing, praising you and glorifying you because you are great. And we're going to praise you beforehand, Lord. We know you're going to do great work, and we praise you ahead of time. In Jesus' name, amen. Paige?